but they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And shall they be my people, and I will be their God. God saves you, transforms you. He gives you a new heart. He writes his law onto your heart that we can walk and keep his statute.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled, In His Image. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. However, sin has distorted that image. Now in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed more into the likeness of our Savior as we yield ourselves to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Whose image do you reflect? I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of In His Image.
They've done a lot of testing on this image in the shroud, and they have this phrase they use. It's called blood first, image second. The blood was on first, but then the image came second. The image itself, there's blood throughout on the shroud, but the image itself is separate from the blood. I always thought that the blood is what created the image. It's not. And this is what's really fascinating about this. And I'm not here to talk about the shroud today. It's just an illustration. The image basically sits on top of that shroud. And they said that you could take a razor and you can actually flake it off of the shroud itself. The image sits on top of the shroud. And it's an image, it's a photo negative. When you look at the image through a photo, you can see the positive. So it's actually a negative. The History Channel had a documentary called The Face of God, and it was a story on the shroud. And what they did is they took, since it is a shroud and it has been placed over a person's face, there's 3D details that you can pick up, and they can actually do it. NASA has this mapping technology that allows it to go into a 3D image. There's a professor, he's a scientist, that he strongly suggests that this is what's happened with the shroud, that there's been a radiation release that have caused that image to stick on top of that cloth. Some type of electrical discharge has created the image. You know, I'm not here to convince you whether it's Jesus or not. But when they actually did the 3D mapping and imaging, it was really startling. It was totally different than what I thought I was seeing. There is some compelling evidence that it could be the shroud. So let's just, for funsies, let's just pretend that it is the actual shroud that was used to bury Jesus, and that the image that you see is the image that was left by the Son of God. Just for funsies, all right? Wouldn't it be cool then to be able to do that 3D imaging and then say, that's what Jesus looks like. That is his image. I can tell you this. I do know this. Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. He's Jewish. So he's olive skin, dark hair. As much as we like to make him European, he's not. But the fact of the matter is this. Wouldn't it be cool to have a picture and you say, well, we're not supposed to worship pictures, and I know all that. Don't you want to see Jesus, his face? The one who died and gave himself for you. I want to look upon his face. I want to see his image. I want to see who he is. So it would be cool if, in fact, that were the image of Jesus. When we look in the mirror, though, we see an image. Some of you say, man, I don't like the image that I'm seeing. When we were created, when God created us, he made us in what? His likeness and what? His image. There's no other creation of God that is made in his likeness or image but us. When you look into the mirror, you're looking, and I know it's a distorted because of sin, because of the fall of man, a distorted image of the likeness of God. But no doubt there are imprints of our Creator upon us. You can say, people can say we descended from apes and monkeys and all kinds of crazy stuff. You could look at certain things and say, man, that thing almost looks human. But my dog sometimes looks human. How many of you have dogs? You know what I'm talking about. They look at you funny. I think my dog has a vocabulary. That dog is half human sometimes. And I understand that that the animal kingdom does possess some things that we have as human beings, but they are soulish creatures, right? But they don't have a spirit. And they are not made in the image and likeness of our Creator. We have an image. And when we look on the image that we see in the mirror, we look at an image that is created in the likeness of God. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, if you are born again, that image that you look on day after day may get older, it may get gray, it may get wrinkled, but that image that you're looking at should become more and more like its Creator on a daily basis. Are you following me? If you don't believe me, look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. That's not my text, that's where I'm going to be. But look what it says. He is, and this is speaking of Jesus, look, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, you clearly know who we're talking about here, right? We're talking about Jesus. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created through Him and for Him. You know, sin has messed up our image. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the transformation that comes through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to become more and more again like Jesus, His likeness, His image. I want to ask you this question. In whose image are you being transformed? In whose image is God creating you? In whose image, when you look at it, whose image do you see? If you have your Bibles, turn to the second book of Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to really just kind of go down through this chapter this morning. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, is what Paul writes here to the Corinthians. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So not on tablets of flesh, but tablets but on the heart, our flesh, but not stone. If you think about this, under the new covenant established by the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has written the law of God on our hearts, not again on tablets of stone, but when you got saved, God wrote His word on your heart. This is again alluding to the fact that when Moses went up to the mountain, when he went on to Mount Sinai, that God gave him the Ten Commandments. God gave him the law, and the law was inscribed on stone tablets. It was something that was purely exterior. But God's desire from the very beginning was to write His law on your heart. He couldn't write His law on your heart unless you were born again. Why? All of us had a stony heart. It would just be like chiseling the word into stone tablets. When we get saved, when we are born again, there's a regeneration of the Spirit. We have a new heart. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I got a new heart and I had new desires. Now, that doesn't mean all those desires were perfect and all those desires were pure because I had flesh to deal with still. But I had new desires. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to please God. From the very beginning, if you don't believe this, you can look three times in the book of Ezekiel, a couple times in Jeremiah, but look, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. This is a prophecy, right? Ezekiel is a prophet. He's speaking of what will take place. And the reason I know God wanted to change our hearts and write His word on our hearts is for this reason, through the prophet Ezekiel. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. For what reason? Here's the purpose of that. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And shall they be my people, and I will be their God. I think that sometimes we really minimize salvation to, yeah, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell now. God saves you. He transforms you. He gives you a new heart. He writes His law onto your heart for the purpose of this, just what He said here, that we can walk and keep His statute. The law of God was incapable of changing the human heart. The law of God was incapable of changing the human heart. This God was looking forward and saying, listen, I know this is not going to work. And you know what? You can say, well, God, why don't you just do it then? He has sovereign. He has His reasons. But I really think that God wanted man to see how futile they are without Him. from the very beginning, from the garden, that's what man was all about. It's all about us. It's about what we want to do. God, you commanded us to do this and this, but we're going to do this anyways. Even though you said this is going to bring death, what is death? Who cares? I want to do it anyways. God, in his timing, I believe, allow mankind to see this, that his efforts are futile without him. When we are born again, we experience a regeneration. We are given a new heart and a new spirit, and God writes upon our hearts the law of God. Jeremiah 31:33 says this, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Two different prophets speaking at two different times, but what an amazing communication effort he has here. God is saying this. He's foretelling that there is coming a day where the law of God will not just be on stones or in print, but it'll be written on your hearts. And that day is today. How many of you have ever thought about this? I would love to be Abraham. I would love to be where Abraham was in the Bible. I'd love to have his experiences. Or Moses. I mean, Moses going up on the mountain of God and experiencing all that he did. And we think of Daniel and David and Isaiah. We keep going on and on and on. They would look at you and say, "What are you thinking? We're looking forward to the day that you're in right now. We were looking forward to the day that you and I now enjoy." As people of God, they had the written code. They had stone tablets, but it never changed their heart. The Spirit of God did not dwell in them like it dwells in you and I today. I don't think we sometimes have the correct vantage point that we are born again. God has changed our hearts. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there's something that happened inside of me. Something changed. My desires changed. Listen, if we're going to reflect the image of our Savior, we must be born again. We must be born again. You must experience the regeneration of the Spirit where God changes your heart and writes it upon your heart. Are you born again? Number one, are you born again? That's the question I want you to ask yourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves." From our sufficiency is from God. We rely so much on our flesh, even after we get saved. I believe God is constantly trying to remind us, listen, don't rely on you. Rely on me. Trust in me. Verse 6, "who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives" what? Life. Our flesh is strong. Is your flesh strong? Even if you're born again, you still have to struggle with the old man. You still have a struggle with the old man. And it has to be constantly put in its place. I mean, it has to be dealt with. But here's the good news. You have the power, the ability to do so now. Why? Because you're born again. You have a new nature inside of you. Think about living as a believer without the regeneration of the Spirit, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I marvel and I almost say, man, those guys that lived in the Old Testament are much greater than I, because I would have given up. There's no way I could serve God the way they served God. And you say, well, they had these manifestations. They would have these powerful things that would take place. But even Jesus said to Nathanael, listen, when he was under the tree, and he says, "Here's a true Israelite. How do you know?" "Well, I saw you while you were sitting underneath the fig tree." And then Nathanael was all like, "Whoa, you know, you truly are the Son of God." And he's like, "Listen, buddy, there's going to be other people who are going to come after you, are going to believe, and they've not seen a thing."
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the Word of God. I want to encourage you to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to transform your inner being, reflecting more the likeness of Christ. The world needs to see a church that more reflects the image of its Savior rather than itself. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life of the Spirit, I pray God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.